ओम अज्ञानतिमिरान्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनाशलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितमेन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। मुखं करोति वचलं पङ्गुं लङ्गायते गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वन्दे श्रीगुरुं दीनतारिणं। नमो विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रेस्थाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिनिति नाम्ने नमस्ते सरस्वतीदेवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषशून्यवादि पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे जय श्रीकृष्णचैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैतगदाधार श्रीवासादि गौरभक्तवृन्द। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। So then actually in our last class, which is class number 20th class today, and we have successfully, we'll be completing Brahma Samhita in 20 classes, and today we will cover the last two verses, which is verses 61 and 62. The entire class today will be just based on the purport. We'll be reading the purport and discussing the purport, because this is like the essence and the final instruction of what Krishna is actually telling Brahma. Krishna started speaking already. Actually, in our previous class, we saw that Krishna begins to speak the five verses that he had reserved to tell Brahma. So in the previous class, we saw the three verses that he spoke. So we are left with two more verses among the five verses that Brahma is speaking. And basically, in these five verses, Krishna, we'll just see what he was trying to say in the first three verses. Krishna begins to talk about the Sambandha, Abhideya and Prayojana, where he talks, the Sambandha means a relationship with Krishna, Abhideya is the process by which we get related to Krishna, and Prayojana is the goal, Bhakti. When we say Sambandha, it means like, who am I, who's God, what my relationship with him is. Then Abhideya is the process, like process of devotional service, which has the ninefold devotional processes, beginning with Shravanam, Kirtanam and all that. And Prayojana is the final goal, which is obviously Krishna Prema in our case, where we are practicing this process of Bhakti. Now, we in detail saw about the Dashamula, which also involves Sambandha, Abhideya, Prayojana. We saw different cases throughout all this Vaishnava scriptures, how the whole scripture actually talks only about these three, these three principles of Sambandha, Abhideya and Prayojana. And Krishna began to speak about the essence of what must be done. Of course, the ninefold devotional process of Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam and so on is done. But actually, the principle is that whatever work we do, we dovetail it in service to Krishna. So this is the actual instruction that Krishna is giving to Brahma. And to this day, in whatever we are doing, like this is actually pretty much everyone in ISKCON, we follow this particular method of dovetailing our activities to Krishna, keeping Krishna in the center, Krishna being the focus of all the activities, and we continue to do execute our duties. So right from Brahma to people like us, we are trying to dovetail our activities to Krishna, and that is the process that is recommended by Krishna in the Brahma Samhita, and that's how he concludes the entire Brahma Samhita. So we say that pure bhakti means doing only pure devotion, that is Shravanam, Kirtanam, doing all this. Now, in the purport, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he also talks about what is not really, really pure devotional service. So he says the exoteric and esoteric dharmas functions are manifold. That is, non-differential knowledge of the Brahman aiming at the extension of individuality, the Ashtanga Yoga Dharma living as its goal attainment of the state of exclusive existence, Kaivalya, atheistical fruitive ritualism aiming at material enjoyment, Jnana Yoga Dharma seeking to combine knowledge with fruitive activity and the practice function of barren asceticism. Getting rid of all this, serve me by pure devotion rooted in faith. Actually, this is what Krishna is trying to say. Do pure devotional service. Now, these two verses, verses 61 and 62, are focusing on the prayojana. Not only the Prayojana, Abhideya and Prayojana actually. They are focusing on that. Here, Brahma is being told that you need to do pure devotional service, like how Rupa Goswami says, Anya Bilashita Shunyam, Jnana Karma Dhyana Vrittam, without mixing Jnana and Bhakti in it. So he talks about the different things that are done by human society. Like, for example, there are people, the functions are manifold. This is what we read. So, people are up to doing Jnana Yoga, they are doing Karma Yoga, they are doing Ashtanga Yoga, they are trying to get fruitive activities through the Karma Kanda processes. So all this is there, and a combination of all this is also being done. Like Jnana Yoga is mixed with Bhakti, so all this is being done. But here, Krishna is specifically telling, there are so many methods, but still get rid of all these and serve me with pure devotion rooted in faith. Now when we say rooted in faith, this verse says that the realization will correspond to the nature of one's faith. This is another thing that the verse says. Our depending on the level of faith each person has, each person advances to a particular level. So Krishna says, exclusive faith in me is trust. Faith in the form of trust by the process of gradual purification tends to become a constant engagement, nishtha, an object of liking, ruchi, of attachment, asakti, and real sentiment, bhava. So what the commentary is saying is that whatever realization in Krishna consciousness we have, it will directly correspond to the level of faith we have in the process and the faith we have in Krishna. So depending on the level of faith that I have today, I will advance to a certain state. So we all know the process of Krishna consciousness begins with Shraddha. Shraddha is faith. Then you have Bhajana Kriya. Then you take association of devotees. So like that, you go step by step by step. It goes on. And you come to a stage of constant engagement, nishtha. So these are the higher stages of the ladder. So that means your faith has strengthened even more. You start developing a taste for all the devotional activities you're doing spontaneously. So you're getting ruchi. And then there is a sense of attachment, and then you reach the stage of bhava. So a person, to go to the stage of bhava and prema, they are going to go through different steps. And as they move through these different steps, their faith gets strengthened over and over. And they just have pure faith and complete surrender and faith in Krishna. Very nicely, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, he says, the more transparent the faith, the greater the degree of realization. So our faith at this point is not really transparent. Our faith is there, but it is somewhat muddled. The kind of faith that we have in the process or in the Supreme Lord or whatever it may be is not so transparent. So the more transparent it becomes, the greater and stronger is the realization, the greater and faster you reach the stages of sentiment, like asakti and bhava, attachment and sentiment. So this is what this verse says. Krishna is particularly telling, please execute pure devotional service and have complete faith, and this faith should be transparent for maximum benefit. Now, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati in the commentary, he puts up this question. He says, if you ask how will the preservation and conduct of worldly affairs be feasible if one is continuously engaged in the endeavor for realization of bhakti, what will also be the nature of the endeavor for the realization of the of bhakti when the body will perish consequent on the cessation of the function of the body and of society? So basically, on behalf of Brahma, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati is posing this question. He's saying, now you're telling I should have full faith and I should execute pure devotional service. Now you tell me I should execute pure devotional service. How am I going to do it if I have to also create, if I have to also be engaged in, doing this worldly affairs? Because Brahma has to do it. So if I have to also be doing worldly affairs, and simultaneously I have to be endeavoring for realization of bhakti. How am I supposed to accomplish? So the explanation is given. Basically, we all know the answer is that you have to dovetail your activities, because that's the central theme of what Krishna has been saying already, and the same thing he will continue to say. So we have different activities of the mind and the body. Like, for example, we have different bodily activities like eating, sitting down, walking, resting, sleeping, cleansing our body, covering the body. So all these are various bodily activities on the bodily platform. Now, thinking, recollecting, keeping an impression in our mind, being aware of pleasure and pain, all these are mental affairs, that which happens in the mind. Now, to get married, to practice a relationship between two people, like husband and wife, or king and the minister and the citizen, practicing, attending meetings, so doing some nice interest, social activities, altruism, all these you're doing it to benefit the people around you. You maintain relationships with them, you show hospitality, you show good conduct. So all these are different social activities that are also done both on the bodily and the mental level. So on the bodily and mental level, not only are you taking care of yourself, you're also taking care of other things. So, but if you see all these activities, be it for yourself or be it in the interest of the society, these acts are performed basically for one's selfish enjoyment. When they are performed for purely for one's selfish enjoyment, it is called as karmakanda. Okay, and if it is performed in the sense that you have a desire of attaining freedom from all activity by the knowledge that underlies this reaction, it is called as jnana. So if you have the knowledge that by doing certain things, I'm going to attain liberation, so I will do it. That means you're doing jnana yoga. Either you're doing karma yoga or you're doing jnana yoga. When these activities are managed to be performed in a way that it is conducive to our attainment of bhakti, it's called as jnana bhakti yoga. That means you have a knowledge and you're purposely doing it because you know this is the method to attain something. So you're mixing jnana and bhakti together. That is called as subsidiary devotional practices. But only these activities that are characterized by principle of pure worship are called as pure bhakti. Only when you have pure bhakti, you don't want to, when you have this knowledge or intention of, I can do this. See, this is the process. I have a hidden agenda that through knowledge you develop this idea that if you do bhakti, you're going to get something. You know, when you have this kind of a thought, it becomes jnana and bhakti together. But pure bhakti is just doing bhakti as a principle of pure worship, or just doing bhakti for the sake of bhakti. So as long as one person has not reached the bhava state, one has to perform to an extent jnana bhakti yoga. There will be some mix of jnana and bhakti. All the activities of the body, mind, society, in a devotional way will go on, but we will do it we will do it in a way that we are actually dovetailing the activities and trying to please Krishna. But if we do the same thing just for pure sense gratification, then it is only karma kanda. But a process of dovetailing also has a bit, it's not like 100% you don't jump to 100% pure bhakti, but as you progress over a period of time, when you reach the higher stages, you will attain pure bhakti. Okay, so this is an explanation that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati gives. Like he gives when he spoke about taking care of the body, like eating and all that, everything, pretty much all the bodily activities can be dovetailed for Krishna. Thinking, or cleansing the body. So many things can be done as a service to Krishna because you want to serve Krishna. So that can be dovetailed. There is this famous verse, Isha Vasyedam Sarvam Ishopanishad. So it says that do your work, continue to do your work, but keep me in the center. And work for creation or creative desire that Brahma has, Krishna is saying, just dovetail it to me. Do it at my service, thinking of me. Put me in the center. Just like in the previous class we were discussing, the same principle was actually taught to Arjuna also. fight thinking of me. Because Maam Anusmara, you know, you fight, Krishna will tell Arjuna. So similar principle, even Ishavasya Midam Sarvam also says, do your work keeping me in the center. So Brahma, he cherishes the desire for creation in his heart. If that creative desire is practiced by conjoining the same with the meditation of obeying the command of the Supreme Lord, then it is called as a subsidiary spiritual function, which is called as Gauna Dharma. This Gauna Dharma is a preliminary activity. Initially, we all do this. Brahma is also recommended to do that. Gauna Dharma means it is a subsidiary spiritual function which helps this process of meditating on Krishna, obeying his order, and carrying out the creative desire, carrying out the function of creation. Together, all this will help him grow, in the service of the Lord. And over a period of time, it will perfect. Over a period of time, pure bhakti will be revealed. So the same Ishavasya Idam Sarvam, if you see in the Ishopanishad, a Mayavadi or an impersonalist would talk about it from a jnana point of view. He will talk about renouncement of fruits of one's worldly action. All this should be done as in a way that you renounce all worldly activities and attain this pure state of jnana. Like that, so many interpretations will be there by so many impersonalists. But bhakti point of view means attainment of Krishna's favor. Saraswati is saying, the bhakti point of view, they mean the attainment of Krishna's favor, prasadam, by their transfer to his account. So a devotee understands the real intention of the Lord. Instructions regarding this Gauna Bhakti is not required for a person in the stage of Bhava. Brahma, actually looking at it, Brahma, if the question is asked, was he in the state of doing this Gauna Bhakti or this, this kind of an activity, was he in this particular stage or was he in Bhava Bhakti? If you ask that question, according to Brahma Samhita, we see in the first beginning verses and the Govindam prayers, we see that Brahma had actually reached the platform of Bhava. So then why is Krishna advising him to practice Gauna Bhakti or this kind of a bhakti where it involves a little bit jnana and outtailing and all that? So why is Krishna advising him like that? The answer is given by the acharyas that he is only, this whole bewilderment of Brahma is just for his further advancement. Actually, he is in the state of Baba, but he is put into such a condition where he can receive the instructions. Just like Arjuna is put into a condition where he is given instructions by Krishna, but actually Arjuna is an eternal associate of the Lord. So similar explanation is given. So he is just an example of a person who is receiving instructions so that we can learn from him. But this particular Brahma who is discussed in the Brahma Samhita is considered to be on the platform of Bhava based on the previous verses he has already spoken. So here in this verse we pretty much saw about the different processes of karma, jnana, bhakti, then jnana and bhakti mixed and all that. Then we saw how important it is to dovetail our activities and reach the stage of pure bhakti. When a pure bhakti doesn't happen automatically, you go through these phases of beginning with Shraddha. As your faith strengthens, you go to Nishtha, Sakti, and then you come to the state of Bhava. For a person who's in the state of Bhava, all this, advice on dovetailing and all is not required because they've already transcended all this. So this is what this verse talks about, verse number 61. Now, verse number 62. Actually,
Mataji, before you go on, I just have a clarification. So, I understood the part of jnana bhakti. So this Gauna bhakti, is that dovetailing that jnana bhakti? That jnana bhakti platform, is that what Gauna bhakti is?
So I'll just take out that. This jnana bhakti yoga, that means subsidiary devotional practices, is also termed as Gauna bhakti. It is also dovetailing. It also means dovetailing your activities. That is doing your bhakti. Wait, I'll just read the whole thing. I'll just read the whole. Wait one second. When all these activities are managed to be performed in a way that it is conducive to our endeavor for attaining bhakti, they are called as jnana bhakti yoga. That is the subsidiary devotional practices. But only those activities that are characterized by the principle of pure worship is called as bhakti proper. Now this jnana bhakti yoga is also termed as gauna bhakti. Towards the end of the commentary, it's the same thing. So it says, so long as one has not reached the position of bhava, one has to practice proactive gauna bhakti, which is jnana bhakti yoga. It's the same. So basically, okay. Yeah. You understood, Mataji?
Okay. That.
Haribol?
Yeah, Mataji, I'm here. Sorry, I put you on mute. I put myself on mute. Thank you. Yeah, I understood. I got it.
Okay. So, and also actually when I think when I was listening to Tamal Krishna Maharaj also, he pointed out the same thing, Jnana Bhakti Yoga as Gauna Bhakti. So, because in the commentary it comes much later, but actually initially he terms the same thing as Jnana Bhakti Yoga. Later he starts terming it as Gauna Dharma. It's called as the subsidiary spiritual function, and that is what he particularly translates. I mean, he translates Gauna Dharma as subsidiary spiritual function. Before you attain the pure devotion. Go to 62. This is the last verse of Brahma Samhita. Aham hi vishvasya characharasya bijam pradanam prakriti pumamscha maya hitam teja idam bibharsi vidhe videti tvam ato jaganti. We'll do word to word. I didn't do for last verse. He certainly vishvasya, the world, characharasya, of animate and inanimate objects, bijam, the seed, pradhanam, the substance of matter, prakritihi, the material cause, puman, purusha, cha, and maya, by me, ahitam, conferred, tejaha, fiery energy, idam, this, bibharsi, you bear, vide, O Brahma, videhi, regulate, tvam, tu, atha, you, now, jaganti, the worlds. Listen, O Vidhi, I am the seed, that is the fundamental principle of this world of animate and inanimate objects. I am Pradhan, the substance of matter. I am Prakriti, material cause, and I am Purusha, efficient cause. This fiery energy that belongs specially to the Brahman, that is, that inheres in you, has also been conferred by me. It is by bearing the fiery energy that you regulate this phenomenal world of animate and inanimate objects. So this is the final verse spoken by Krishna, and this is also the last verse of the Brahma Samhita. Now actually Krishna is actually giving the entire Achintya Beda Beda Tattva here. The Supreme Lord is saying that Brahma, I am the basis of everything. Everything is only a transformation of my energies, and I am different from everything. Though everything is me, I am different from them. Similar verses also seen in the Bhagavad Gita in 2-3 places. Though everything is me, I am not that, he says. But I am the basis of everything. Everything that you see in this world, this material energy, this jiva shakti, all of them are only transformation of my own energies. So this particular verse refutes all the impersonal philosophies. So there are different varieties of impersonal philosophies. One variety is that everything is Brahman. Brahman is non-different from anything. But Brahman later comes under the influence of Maya and it gets bewildered. This is one kind of impersonal philosophy. Then there's another kind of impersonal philosophy where they say everything is just Maya. There's nothing but Maya. This unlimited Brahman, when it becomes limited in the material world, you see Maya, something like that. There is an explanation, one of the impersonal philosophies. Then another philosophy is that Brahman is the actual substance and this entire world is a reflection. Then you have another variety where they say everything is an illusion. The jiva is under illusion because he's in this material world, which is very similar to Buddhism, where they say everything is an illusion and you're just under the illusion that this world is present. So like that, there are so many varieties of impersonal philosophies that are being proposed. But If you look at them, most of them, they are proposed only based on twisting Vedic knowledge in different ways. So, but however, we see the final conclusion given in Brahma Samhita that actually the Supreme Lord is there and his energies are being transformed. His energy is being vested in Brahma. Like that energies are only transformed. The Jiva Shakti or the material world is only a transformation of his energy. Now, besides the impersonal philosophies that are there about this Maya and just having this non-differentiated Brahman and all that, besides all these impersonal philosophies, there are also Vaishnava philosophies. Like, for example, the Madhvacharya, in his Tattvavad, he said the Supreme God is completely separate from Jiva, and this world is a single principle, and it is independent and it's eternal. This is one philosophy Madhvacharya gave. Now, if you see the Ramanuja's Vishishta Advaita, he says the Supreme God is the substantiative entity, and all other chit and achit are one in principle. It's very similar. Everything is very similar. This is called as Vishishta Advaita. Basic principle in Vaishnava philosophies is that there is a Supreme God, and they only discuss how the energies are connected to him and how the energies actually vary. That is the discussion or difference between each of the Vaishnava philosophies. Then there is this Nimbarka's philosophy, Dvaita Advaita. So they say that by the force of the inconceivable potency of the Lord, sometimes the energies are one with the Lord and sometimes it's different with the Lord, with the Supreme Lord. Then in Shuddha Dvaita by Vishnu Swami, he says, the non-dual minus the potency is meaningless. Hence, Brahman is just pure potency. So like that, we have different philosophies, and all these four Vaishnava philosophies, the variant they show is the how the energies are working. That's all. That is the only variant that we see. But the basic principle of all the Vaishnava philosophies is that God is the supreme and the jivas are not equal or the same as God. We are minuscule particles. We are not exactly the same as the Lord. So that is what all the Vaishnava philosophies talk about. And all of them are correct. But if you see, you'll always feel that something is lacking in all these philosophies. So what happens is that in the Achintya Bheda Bheda, a lot of it is being resolved. Before we get into that, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he also talks about the different philosophies that is superficially touched on the Vedas. They're somewhat atheistic, like the Sankhya philosophy, not the Kapila Sankhya, but the atheistic Sankhya, where it focuses on understanding the different aspects of material elements. Then there's the Patanjali's philosophy, there is Nyaya philosophy, Vaisheshika philosophy, Purva Mimamsika philosophies. So what are all these? These are also there in Vedic scriptures. If you see, not only the impersonal philosophies are there in this world from the Vedic scripture, not only the Vaishnava philosophies that we just saw, just by saying that the Supreme Lord is different and the energies are working differently, that is one variety of looking at the different philosophies that is already available. Not only are the Vaishnava philosophies there, not only are the impersonalistic philosophies there are other Vedic philosophies also, which are not purely theistic. Like, for example, the when we talk about Purva Mimamsa philosophers, they follow the principles of Jaimini, and they stressed on fruitive activity, and that they say if there is a God, he must be under the laws of fruitive activity. So in other words, if one has to perform his duties very nicely, the whole goal of life is to perform your duties nicely in this material world. So that is one variety of philosophy. Then the atheistic Sankhya philosophers like Kapila and all that, they analyze material elements very scrutinizingly, and thereby they come to a conclusion that material nature is the cause of everything. They do not accept the Supreme Lord as the cause of all causes. Then Nyaya philosophers like Gautama and Kanada, they accept a combination of atoms to be the original cause of creation. Mayavadi philosophers say everything is an illusion. Headed by philosophers like Ashtavakra, they stress the impersonal Brahman effulgence as the cause of everything. Then you have philosophers like who accepts Patanjali. They practice Raja Yoga. That means they imagine a form of the absolute truth within many forms. So that is their process of self-realization. Now the Vaisheshika branch, they say that all the objects in the physical universe are reducible to atoms, and one's experiences are derived by the interplay of these atoms. So according to Vaisheshika school, knowledge and liberation will be achieved by complete understanding of this particular world and experiencing how everything is actually happening in this world. So like that, there are a lot of theories, lot of philosophies and all that. But rejecting all these philosophies, except the Vaishnava philosophies, we see that there is one Supreme Lord, and he transforms in different ways. He transforms in the meaning that his energy is transformed. Because he is the source and the basis of the energies, we say that Brahman or God is everything. In that sense, he is Brahman. There is only, everything is Brahman. Even Vaishnavas will also say that. How? Because he is the source and the basis of his energy. So in that sense, yes, everything is God. So the Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva that was given, actually this term Achintya Bheda Bheda was not coined by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, rather it was coined by Jiva Goswami based on the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he included all the Vaishnava philosophies and he took two concepts from each. Like from the Madhva Sampradaya, he took the very speciality of defeating Mayavad philosophy, because if you see Madhvacharya, he always focused on defeating Shankaracharya's philosophy. And he was very strong. Like if you see other Vaishnavas like Ramanuja and others, they were not very so strong. They were not like, you know, really, really hard on Mayavad. But Madhvacharya was extremely hard on Mayavad. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu borrowed that mood. In our sampradaya also, we are very hard on Mayavadis. So that was taken. Defeating Mayavad and the service of the Murti of Krishna, worshipping the deity of Krishna. That is a very beautiful aspect of the Madhvacharya's lineage. So worshipping Krishna, Murti of Krishna, and defeating Mayavad. Now from Ramanujacharya's Vishishta Advaita and his Sri Sampradaya, the concept of practicing pure bhakti, slowly giving up this Jnana Mishra Bhakti, practicing Anya Bilashita Shunyam Nan Karmadhyana Anavratam, getting into pure bhakti, that was taught by Ramanujacharya. We took that from Ramanuja, and also service to devotees. Like if you read the biography of Ramanujacharya, actually it's 1000th year of Ramanujacharya's appearance. It's a very special year, and especially over the month end, according to the South Indian calendar, he was actually born, though we already celebrated the appearance some days back, according to the other calendar. So Ramanujacharya's 1000 years of his thing, if you see his biography, his associates, they are also extremely humble, extremely down to earth, always serving Vaishnavas. The focus, the principle of advancement is by service. Everybody is in the mood of the servant of the servant. You will see that so much highlighted in the entire Ramanuja Sampradaya, and especially during the time of Ramanuja, when we read about his associates and how he was with his associates, it's so beautiful actually. All the devotees had this particular mood. They would give up their lives for the service of Vaishnavas. So that is about what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took from Ramanuja Sampradaya, the concept of this pure bhakti and service to devotees. Then from Vishnu Swami Sampradaya, he took exclusive dependence on Krishna and Raga Bhakti. From Nimbarka Sampradaya, he took shelter of Srimati Radharani and understanding and giving the highest esteem for the gopis' love for Krishna. So if you see our entire Sampradaya as a combination of all these concepts, especially if you see the last two, exclusive dependence on Krishna and Raga Bhakti, where our Sampradaya is also Raganuga Bhakti Sampradaya. And you will also see the shelter of Srimati Radharani. Radharani is focused on our Sampradaya, and the love for the gopis is held at high esteem. So so that's what is explained, that actual Achintya Bheda Bheda, the complete philosophy that Mahaprabhu gave us, is a combination of all the Vaishnava philosophies, all inclusive. So it is the most complete. So he combined all these philosophies to come up with Achintya Bheda Bheda. Now the last part of the commentary I will read as it is before we close the class. So it says, the basic principle is that the animate world is made up of jivas and the inanimate world is constituted of matter. Of all the jivas have been manifested by the supreme parapotency, and this phenomenal world has been manifested by secondary aparapotency. I am the cause of all causes. In other words, I regulate all of them by the power of my will, although I am not a different entity from the marginal and material tathastha and achit potencies. By the transformation of those distinct potencies, Pratan, Prakriti and Purusha have been produced. Hence, although as regards the subjective nature of all potency, I am Pradhan, Prakriti, Purusha, yet as a possessor of power, I am eternally distinct from these potencies. This is actually Achintya Bheda Bheda. He's simultaneously one and different. This simultaneous distinction and non-difference has also sprung from an inconceivable power. Inconceivable power is Achintya power. See, the last verse is purely saying Achintya Bheda Bheda. So that is what closing comments on the purport are. So let the attainment of love for Krishna by the practice of pure devotion through the knowledge of their mutual true relationship that subsists between Jiva and Jada and Krishna, based on the principle of inconceivable simultaneous distinction and non-distinction, be my instruction for being handed down in the order of the spiritual perceptional succession in your community, Sri Brahma Sampradaya. So this is the instruction given to Brahma. This is what you're going to hand down. This is the philosophy that you are going to give to all the jivas. Let my instruction for being handed down in the order of the spiritual perceptional succession in your community, Sri Brahma Sampradaya. So this is how it ends. It just talks about Achintya Bheda Bheda. This verse itself, the verse that we just read, that itself is a translation of Achintya Bheda Bheda, how the Lord is simultaneously one and different, and yet it is inconceivable for us. So how to understand that he is one and different, he and his energies. So that's all for today. We have pretty much just read the commentaries. So I'd like to end here because, yeah, the philosophy is also a little heavy. So if you have any questions or discussions, please go ahead. Hare Krishna. With this, we conclude. Go ahead, Mataji.
Mataji, can you again one more time list the which part each one of the Vaishnava Sampradayas took?
Yes, yeah, so in Madhvacharya, he took the principle of defeating Mayavad and service to the Murti of Krishna.
Okay.
Then in the Ramanuja Sampradaya, he took the concept of pure bhakti, anya bilakshita shunyam, that is without any jnana or karma, getting pure bhakti and service to the devotees, Vaishnava seva. Then Vishnu Swami Sampradaya, he took exclusive dependence on Krishna and Radha Bhakti.
Okay, that was Vishnu Swami. Okay, Radha Bhakti. Okay, Vishnu Swami. Okay.
And then Nimbarka, he takes shelter of Srimati Radharani and he holds the gopis in the highest esteem. Gopis' love for Krishna in the highest esteem.
Okay, gopis. Love highest. Okay, thank you, Mataji. That was all my question. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Thank you for a wonderful class. It's been a while since I joined, so I have no questions. I'm just today only I downloaded all the remaining things that I missed and I put up a folder in my phone. So I'm going to continue hearing from various talks and then probably, as usual, I'll be texting you on and off.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna Mataji and Aparna Mataji. It's very knowledgeable class, Mataji. It's very informative. I didn't give us a chance to ask any questions, Mataji.
I was actually the classes I heard also from these people, from Tamal Krishna Maharaj and mostly everyone else, they were also just focusing on the commentary. And the commentary had a lot, actually. It spoke about so many principles. So I pretty much just copy-pasted and said the whole thing.
Exactly, Mataji. After hearing so many sampradayas and so many philosophies, so many acharyas with different thinking, so because it's basically like you get inspired, right, Mataji? If you meet with like some people, associate with some people who for some kind of sampradaya, right? So you get influenced by those things.
Definitely.
So, yeah, Mataji. After going to, because right from being in a like orthodox family, right from childhood, I have been influenced by many different kinds of. Philosophies, Mataji, started from different sampradayas, seriously. And while working also, like, atheistic is mostly prominent, like, when you're working in work culture, other spaces. Luckily, after coming to this one, right, Mataji, ISKCON, I mean, this one, then it's all clear, Mataji. Clear in the sense, I don't mean, like, I understood everything. It's clear what not to be done.
Correct.
It's simple, as simple as that. I don't want to learn everything. I don't have that much knowledge. I don't have that much memory, Mataji. But it's simple. Because I think I mentioned a couple of times also on our calls. Prabhupada said, like, just don't think of anything. Don't think of philosophy. So philosophy is needed just to get in. That's all. You don't have to explore the whole thing. And I mean, if you have the capability, go ahead and read on everything. But philosophy should get you attracted to Krishna. Once you get attracted to Krishna, right, chanting.
Yeah.
That's the ultimate goal. Whatever scripture, whatever fashion, of course, passions we have to go through, but it ultimately it's a chanting. Like Sajjana Mahaprabhu said, like it's as simple as that. You don't even have to be educated person. You don't even need to know like any script or anything, right, Mataji?
Yeah.
Hear that and say that. So I really like it, Mataji. Being a very lazy, useless person. I really like that principle, Mataji, first of all. Oh, I don't have to do anything. Oh, I don't have to go to big temples, do all those rituals, all those whatever, other samprayas, even at my home, whatever they follow. I don't have to do all those simple chanting and get the same success. Or even, I mean, of course, it's more than any other success. Today, when you are going through all these samprayas, different acharas, philosophies, I was just rewinding my whole journey so far, Mataji. It's very nice, Mataji. I mean, I'm really like, as we are all growing and becoming old, no need to worry about all those things, Mataji. Just simply chant and be happy. What the book says also says that one. That's my relation, Mataji. After all, hearing, I invested so much of time, efforts, Mataji. Really, I'm indebted to you, Mataji. Personally. Whatever sacrifice we are doing, whatever I am doing, Mataji, that's nothing compared to whatever efforts we are putting, taking classes and being a housewife and all these things and doing other things. Thank you so much, Mataji. Thank you so much. That's all I can say, Mataji.
Thank you so much, Prabhu. You have deep realizations, very, very deep. Whenever you speak, it really touches the heart. It's very deep, Prabhu. We should thank you.
It's all inspiration coming from all of us, Mataji. Everybody helping each other. Because after living Atlanta and moving on different places, meeting with like-minded people and sharing deeply and whatever you can ask, all these things, especially this call, Mataji, really all goes to Vishwanath Prabhu for
having
this call. Yeah. Initially, I can see like we're all hesitant to join a separate call in addition to whatever programs we got in Atlanta. But later, everybody adjusted and it's really nice. At least I'm the biggest beneficiary out of these classes.
Me too,
from you and Vishwan Prabhu. Yeah.
Thank you,
that's
bro.
All from my side, Mataji. Sorry, it's a long speech, but that's all from my side.
Thank you, bro.
Prabhu, I think as long as we have good speakers like Kriti Mataji or Bhaktivinoda Prabhu, I think we are ultimate beneficiaries.
Prabhuji, that way you can escape, Prabhu. You are next. So,
correct, Prabhu.
Yeah, he's trying to escape slowly, but he wants to sneak out. But we cannot let that happen, Prabhu. We had to. Yeah, when the call started, Mataji, I was just laughing because, I mean, after Vishwanath Prabhu announced, it's I had the first two people thinking like that, not like thing like that. So I was thinking, what happened? Then I said, oh, two persons joined. The special guest, Nandanandan, also joined. I just, relating like that, Mataji. It's fun.
Awesome. Okay, I think so. We'll end the call. So thank you all so much for the wonderful association. And finally, we are done with Brahma Samhita.
Yes, Mataji.
Thank you, Mataji, for all the wonderful efforts. And I think you already uploaded the recordings into my Google Drive, right? If I'm correct?
Yes, Prabhu. I've already uploaded everything to Google Drive.
Okay, so I think I'm very sure this will be a treasure for the future.
Yes.
Yeah. One final time, please share again, Prabhuji.
Yeah, sure, Prabhu. Let me attend.
Yeah. Also, please, Mataji, whatever the class you were saying, Arigatha, Prabhu, a class. So,
yeah,
I can link also, Mataji.
Listen, yeah.
Or you can upload to the same Google Drive if you have time.
Yeah, I'll do that. Yeah, no problem. Yeah.
Wonderful, Mataji. Thank you.
Thank you all so much. So we'll end the call. Vancha Kalpataro Vashti
Kripa.
All glories to the assembled devotees.
Mataji, you're in the recording, right?